Where are you at now? Where are you guys at?
In the middle.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Hilchos Macholos, Asuras Perek, Tesvav, Halacha Chaf Beis, Chapter 15, Law 22. We're all connected up on our regular equipment today. All right, now we've discussed if something that's similar tasting mixes up with something similar tasting, something that's dissimilar tasting is a third possibility. And what's the third possibility? If something has a certain taste, mixes in with something else, it's a combination of two things. One has the same taste, and one has a different taste. How are we going to look at that situation? That's halacha chaf beis. Min b'mino, if there's one kind that's mixed in with another kind, v'davar achar nisarver, and there's a third one that's not like the two. He's going to give an example. Shinisarver, that are mixed up. Kigon, for example. Kidera pat shahaya b'chelev alya. You've got the fat of the tail, which is kosher. It tastes like fat. Ugrisim, and you got beans, different types. I don't know exactly what kind of beans, peas, whatever, legumes. Right? So now what do you got? You got two kosher ingredients. You got a beef stew. Okay, a fatty beef stew. All right? So they have two different tastes. They're both kosher. It's kosher fat and kosher beans. All right. Now, v'nafla socha, socha chelev akloyos. Now, fat from the kidneys, which is not kosher, falls in. V'nimcha kol, and all gets dissolved together. V'nasa guvacha, that's one soup now. One fatty soup. Okay, so what do we got over here? So if we would have only had the non-kosher fat mixed with the kosher fat, that would be min b'mino. And min b'mino, what do we say the law is? Really, it was what? Batal?
Yeah.
Well, really, batal.
Bashishim,
right? But what if what would it have been if it had only been the fat with the beans?
The fat.
Trade fat with the kosher beans.
That's
not bimino. Yeah. Then it would technically be 1-2. 2-1 would be enough. A majority would knock it out. So how are we going to look at this case? So roin eschel va'aliyev esegrisim kiloheim guf echad. We have to look at the fat of the tail and the beans as if they are one thing, even though they are two separate species of kosher. We look at them as one thing, all right? Umesharin chelav akloyes begrisim valya, and we measure the fat that's not kosher against the combination of the kosher fat and the beans, and we look at it that way. All right. So now, imhoya echad mishishi mutter, if it has 1 out of 60, it's 60-1 ratio, you're allowed to eat it, and then it's nullified only when you come to that level. Why? Because even though you're going to say, well, wait a minute, but the beans has a different taste. So what if I just say I don't taste it? But you can't do that because the beans are mixed with kosher fat as well. Sharyef, Sharkan, Laman, Altan, we're not able to ascertain as to whether the taste has been discernible or not because part of the combination is a non-discernible taste. So therefore, when we have one kind that mixes with a similar one and a dissimilar, we have to go to the default of what? Similar. Which requires 160, because there's no other way to tell.
Is that the same with Arisa and non-Arisa things? Like rabbinical? Or just with Arisa?
I don't know. Well, what else would we do?
Halo.
Anyway, at the end of the day, even for the mean chain, we do 160th anyway.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we do 160, so it doesn't really matter. Okay. That's Chaf Beis, and Chaf Gimel says the same thing. V'adin l'truma sh'nisarvu l'sharon. Same thing, if trumas would get mixed up in a similar way, with similar and dissimilar, which you need 100, we work it the same way. Paul, it was another 100, I thought you were going to tell me. No. But that they wouldn't have known. Anyway.
That's why I didn't say it.
Or if you have kile karam or arla that's mixed up, similar and dissimilar, same idea as before, we'd count with 200. So we always go with the numbers that would be for min bimino, even though there's a combination with the eino mino with that. Okay. Now, Chav Dalet. Kishim Esharin B'chol Esrim, when we have to measure up to see if it's nullified with any type of prohibition, Bein B'shishin, Bein B'meya, Bein B'masayim, whether we're looking for a 1/60th ratio or 1/100th or 200th, Misharin, what do we calculate in here? Well, we calculate everything. We calculate Bamorak, the soup, the liquid, Uba Tavlin and the spices, Uba Kol Shevzgan, everything that's in the pot. everything, even pieces of meat, everything is figured. When it's all in there, we look at everything in the pot. And more than that, and even that which was absorbed in the pot, whether it's prohibited things or permitted things or in the pot, we figure everything. After the prohibited falls in, and we make that calculation of what's going on. And here we come, Mark, to the lines you're not going to like. And the answer, how do we calculate it? Lefi Omeid Hadas. We use our best calculation possible. Shari, if Shalamad al Mashabob, it seems we can't be precise in knowing exactly how much got absorbed. But now he opens up a whole Pandora's box, including what is absorbed in the pot. Because now you have more going for you, positive or and negative, depending on what was in the pot before. Was it a treif pot? Was it a kosher pot? All these things. So that's why you call up the rabbi and he tries his best to give you. Well, let's say you cooked a kosher soup, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That pot is absorbed. Well, even without it, let's say you're cooking a kosher soup right now. Yeah. So not only the soup is there, but in the lining of the pot, it's absorbed kosher. So that adds more. It adds more for you than what you have in the...
How much is this? Now, metal doesn't really... I mean,
well, no, it'll depend. Sometimes you have a big issue. Let's say if you have a fleishik pot and you cook milchiks in it, we have certain rules that you'll never will have 60 times it with a pot. There's all kinds of issues here. The pot is a significant factor. We consider a lot that's in that pot, and that becomes part of...
Do you have a particular volume?
Yeah, there's a whole difficult calculation. Generally, no pot, I think no inside can have 60 times the volume of a pot.
Yeah.
In other words, if you have a treif pot and you cook something that's a ben yom in a treif pot, the food will be treif. Yeah. Because what's this, geometry? What type of math is this? Figuring the area circumference. I don't know what that is. But based on it's hard, it can't, almost impossible to make a pot that the exterior pot lining is going to be more than the 60-time ratio, less than the 60-time ratio. So it almost always will trafe up. It has to be an unusually shaped pot. Anyway, that be that as may, but we do calculate that as well. We try to eyeball it as much as possible. That's only if it's ben yomo. It's only if it's been used within 24 hours. Yeah. Then we calculate the pot. Most shilas are usually not ben yomo shilas, so I don't have to worry about the pot. But sometimes you have to worry about the pot. If you just cooked real fleishiks in a real fleishik pot today, and within the same day after you clean the pot, you cook milk in that,
right,
it's going to almost always make the milk treif and everything's treif and finished. Within 24 hours. So that's an important calculation. Now we come to the next issue that somebody, I don't remember who, asked the following. Chafei. Here's the rule. Aser levatal isurim shel Torah lechatchila. It is prohibited to initially nullify Torah prohibited foods in order to make them allowed. And we'll give an example in a minute. Vim bita. And if you did it anyway, you went and broke the rule anyway. Haray zemutter. It's okay. After the fact. You're a bad guy, but it's okay. But the rabbis find the fellow who did it, and he will not be able to benefit from it. If he did it maliciously, we fine him that he won't. For us, our call, he say he can't have it.
But only to him.
But if it was by accident, he didn't know, then it's okay. Ve'yeralin appears to me, says the Rambam, shekevin shukna, since it's only a fine, ain't osrin tarovasel alzeho over shebitul isur. We're only going to find the guy who did the malicious act. Or let's say he did it for somebody intentionally, then we'll make it prohibited for both of them. But if let's say the guy maliciously did it, and I say, you can't eat it. Fine, I won't eat it. You go over to an acquaintance of yours and say, listen, I messed it up, but you could eat it. Then the other guy could eat it.
Sure.
We'll explain everything. Avolachem, where other people are called mutter, is all permitted. Chafav Ketzah, let's have an example of this. So let's say one saw of orla, real orla, falls into 100 saw of regular kosher produce. Now we know, everything is aser because you need one for 200 for orla. So the guy figures, I'll be smart. I'll dump in another 100 to dilute it to 1 to 200. Lo yavi meya sa acheros. You cannot bring another 100 sa v'yitzarv and combine it. Kidei shetal bechlesen should become a 1 to 200. Now look what happens now. V'im avaros. What if you did it? Look what happens. Not only you lost 100, hakoil osur. Now the 200 is osur. That's, so now that's gonna really stop people from trying to do this. Right? I'm sorry. Hakol mutar. I'm jumping the gun. V'mav rasa kain hakol mutar, meaning for others.
Yes.
But not for him, as the halacha before said. I was just saying what the halacha was, but not translating the words. In other words, technically it's been diluted.
Yeah.
But we will fine you. And therefore you will lose 100 saw now because of doing that.
That was the question.
Others can have it. That's only by a biblical prohibition. What if the holy prohibition was rabbinic in nature? It's not orla. Orla is biblical. But what if it's a rabbinic is, which we'll explain in the next halacha? You can initially do it. Okay, so hold on to our horses here. We're not finished.
Which horse?
Chavzayin. Ketza. So let's have an example of nullifying rabbinically prohibited things. Let's say, Cholav shenafel ekteris yesh bo basar of. Let's say milk falls into a pot that's got chicken. Now, milk and chicken is only rabbinically prohibited, not biblically. And what happens? So you had a goy tasted for you, v'nasam tamik there, and the milk put a taste into the pot. So it's all treif. It's basar v'cholov. You're out of business. So what do you do? So now you lick this, since it's rabbinic, marbalov besar of acher. So add a little bit more chicken meat to the mixture. Achivat alatam until you have 160. V'chein ko kayetze b'zah, and anything similar to that would be allowed. And therefore it comes out, any other rabbinic prohibitions are allowed. Now, it's interesting. This rabbinic law of meat and milk, it's, even though it's rabbinic, it's sourced in a biblical prohibition. What do I mean? There's a biblical prohibition of meat and milk.
Right.
So now the rabbi said we're going to extend the prohibition that is biblical, will rabbinically say it's right. But the rabbinic one is based in a biblical. That's a very important point. And the Rambam says any rabbinic prohibition that's rabbinic but based to safeguard a biblical falls under this, that you could nullify it initially. However, many argue on this Rambam, and they hold that the only time rabbinic things are allowed to be nullified is if there's no biblical source. What would be that? Let's say muktzah.
Yeah.
Something like muktzah, which is totally rabbinic, has nothing to do with the biblical law. Something like that, let's say nolad. Something like that is rabbinic. If an egg was hatched on Shabbos and then you purposely mixed it afterwards to nullify it, that's totally rabbinic. But something that's based in a biblical, like meat and chicken and milk, that really has a biblical source, and therefore you can't nullify it initially.
So that's
and
a
that's
focus.
How we paskin, I believe. What does your note say? And that's why, therefore, now when you're talking about the kashrus industry, so this becomes a very big factor over here. So let's say you look at the ingredients, whatever the ingredients are, and there's something not kosher in it. But usually, let's say some oil, right? Many, many times, there's less than 1/60th of oil in there. You don't taste any oil, and it's totally nullified, right? So on the one end, you would say, it's bottled. But if you are going to come to eat it, lechatchila, it's like you know the companies are mixing it together. So that's sort of, you know, ein mavatlan iser lechatchila. I mean, if the guy ate it after the fact, we'd say, well, he didn't really eat treif. But you know, it's not so simple. Someone said it would be more than one. You could have two. You could have 1/6 is 1.33 or 1.66%. 1.66%, which is not a lot, but 2% isn't a lot more to make it awesome. So therefore, there's issues. So let's say, well, we'll just put a little treif in it. It'll taste good. know. But lechatchila, you certainly can't do it. You couldn't have a kashrus organization lechatchila putting their stamp of approval, knowing that it's getting mixed up. That would not be allowed. And we apply this. So now most of the kashrus issues are, there may, many of them may be rabbanon, many of them rabbanon, but they're all based on a biblical prohibition. So therefore, we, even though there'll be a mixture that's a slight amount, you would have to be concerned about that, and we would not give a hechsher to such a thing, and therefore you should not lechachila eat it. That's how it comes out of that.
So chicken error, we can't fix a chicken. This isn't practical. This
right, we're not allowed to do that.
Like if, but if we're not the Sobeys, I need a chicken.
But if you did it, then other people could benefit from
it.
Other people could benefit from it. You could serve for, well, but if you're doing it for those people, you know, that's a problem. But generally, so generally we don't use this rule once, and therefore, it's never shav, I say it's treif. The person says, well, let me just add a little more. We can never do that, because that ain't mevatlin iser lechatchila. Okay, chavkes. Kvar be'arnu, we already explained. Shim nasan dover aser time of a dover hamutter. If the prohibited thing puts in a taste into the permitted thing, we already said, nesar kol, everything's prohibited if you don't have the right amount to knock it off. But there is an important, now we're going to get to some exclusions. Bamed, right. When do we say this? Bishahishbicho, when the prohibited thing mixed in improves the quality of the food. And I think if you put cheese mixed in with a hamburger, it would be an incredibly great, beautiful, extra taste. A cheeseburger, I mean, the goyim eat such a thing. The goyim eat such a thing. I think if putting cheese with a burger makes it worse, they wouldn't sell them.
So like pepperoni with a pizza?
I'd say putting pepperoni in a pizza makes the taste so much better. Without a question, it has to be better, or they wouldn't be selling it, yeah. Right? That's the only time it's a problem. But what if it detracts from the taste? It makes the taste worse. That prohibited thing, it detracts la mutter to the permitted one, vihisido taimo, and it takes away from the taste. Hareza mutter, after the fact it's permitted. For who, however, shia pogem mitchila v'atzov. It has to be something that detracts from beginning to end. We'll have an example shortly. In other words, as soon as it goes in, it makes it bad, and it stays that way the whole time. So if something really lousy, if you know, like no chef would put this in, this would be just, ugh. You know, imagine like you've got some milk, got a nice glass of milk, and some treif ketchup goes into the milk. Ooh. Now, would anybody say that that would make the milk taste better?
Unlikely.
You know?
I've heard of ketchup chips.
You know, or let's say a little bit of pig's fat right into the milk. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that would,
How about a little herring right on, non-kosher herring whatever. On the ice cream.
Right, you know, whatever, you know. So whatever. But if from start to finish, it's a bad taste the whole time, then you don't gotta worry, cause it hasn't done anything to enhance it. It's a big chiddush, because you're really eating treif.
At any time.
You're really, it's not a 1/60th ratio to negate it. You're tasting, ugh! Ugh, this terrible milk, man. It tastes like fats in the milk. Ugh, I hate it. You could drink it.
Even if it's milk and meat.
Yes, doesn't matter. It's a no same tom lifgam. It gives a detracting taste. In other words, it's only a problem when it tastes good. If it doesn't taste good, it hasn't enhanced it. So it's like it's not there. You don't want it. However, that doesn't work all the time. I mean, pagam batchil, let's say in the beginning it's bad, but if you let it sit for a while, it gets to get good with it. And it makes it good, or the opposite. Or okay. In the beginning it's really good. At the end it becomes detracted, hareza, usher, then it's usher, because at that moment when it's good, that's when it makes it usher. So in the beginning, it was usser for a little while. It's usser. It can't become un-usser. In the beginning, it made it taste better. Then it's treif, finished. Even though later not, it's ready treif. And so at the end, it makes it treif. Then that's fine. Not fine. Chavtes. Now, here's the famous question. Who's going to taste the mixture? Because that's Russian roulette, right? Because if, I guess it's treif. Too bad. I guess I shouldn't take any more. I mean, that ain't good. No. So let's discuss. It depends on what we're dealing with. Let's say the mixture was truma in tehulin. And, right? And the chulin's not tame. Right? Now, Yisrael can't taste if there's truma taste, but a kohen is, so toimos are kohen. The kohen is allowed to taste it, because he can eat truma. So, if the kohen says, well, and they have to have an honest kohen, because you could see where a kohen would want to lie. His kohen says, well, I sure taste that truma. Then hakol miduma. It's all considered mixed up completely, and it becomes all
the kohen.
To the kohen.
All to the kohen.
But if he doesn't taste it, then it's been nullified. Ubehilchus Shumas, yes. And we learn Hilchus Shumas will go into more detail in these laws. But that's all good with products that are ultimately kosher. So you could even have another Jewish Kohen taste it. But now let's move on to Lamed. Vim hayabasar b'chalav. What was meat and milk? Oh, yayin nesech, or libated wine, or v'yein orla, or wine from orla. V'kilea kerem, shenaful advash to fall into honey, that no Jew is allowed to eat any of those prohibited things. And this is anomino. This is not similar things. Remember, if it's similar, there's nothing to taste. It's dissimilar taste. So who's going to... Or besar shkotzim ramashim shtispashim ayerik. I have a nice salad of creepy crawling bugs. They got cooked with your vegetables. Okay, you ate the ham. So who's going to taste it? Look at this. Time I say, hagoy. The goy can taste it. And we can rely on him. From the Rambam, it appears that any goy is believed, even if he's not an expert chef. That's what it appears from this Rambam. Even if the goy knows we're asking him that. Okay, that's what appears from the Rambam here. Rashi says no, that a goy is only believed if he says it in passing. Mesiach lefi tumo. And Tosva says that we only rely on an expert goy who has what to lose by his lying testimony. Do your comments say at the end who we paskin like? You'll see. So what does the goy say? Imamar, if the goy says, Ein botam, I don't taste any of the prohibited stuff. Osha Amar, he says, Yesh botam, there is a taste. But umitam rahu, but it's a bad taste. Vahare pagamo, and it detracts from the taste. Then I call mota, then everything's okay for the Jew to eat. However, again, shouldn't be the type of ingredient that at the end could make it better, because even the goy tastes it now, it's bad, but if we know it can get better later, it doesn't help. What if there's no goy? We do that. So, litom, to taste, then misharna, so, and then we fall back to the normal position, to 60, 100, or 200, based on that. Because that we do with min bimino anyway, and you can't taste it anyway. So you can't taste it anyway, we fall back to that position. So technically, you know, you could just have a goy taste and that would be the best solution. Your notes.
Yeah, it says the Rama says in the present age we don't rely on the goy.
We don't rely on it, not even a chef, eh? Nobody. Okay, that's why in the rabbi rule book they never tell you to have a goy taste it. And therefore, what do we ultimately, since we don't have anybody taste it, we always have to fall back to 1/60th. That's why that lacha always ends up going to 1/60th. Okay. Let's do one more that relates similar to that. Lam it out. Achbar, shenafa l'shecha or l'chometz. Let's say a rat falls into a bottle of beer or to a vinegar thing. Alright? Now, these are very sharp liquids, and because of that, they absorb very quickly what falls into them. So in other words, it's not something that has to be there for hours and hours. You got a boiling, you know, you're making beer and the rat falls in within seconds.
It's a live rat.
I don't care. Dead rat doesn't help eat, doesn't make
no,
a difference.
No, but I mean it leaves.
No, it's in there, it's in there. It's in there, right? So now, right away, Misharin also Bishishi, we measure it with 60. Why? Shonu Chay Shishim, we're concerned, this is a Shaila Gemara that is not resolved. And the concern is Shema Tamo Bashechar Ubachamas Mashpich. It could be, we're not sure. The Gemara is a Shiloh. Does a rat improve the quality of the taste of beer or vinegar? Or does he detract from it? And we don't know. Beer? We don't know. So therefore,
guess the answer.
We have to be strict. No, but it's important because, and therefore we have to do 60. Since we're not sure, there gotta be 60 times the rat inside of that. What if a rat falls into wine, oil, and honey? That's not a shiloh. We know everybody says that detracts from the taste. Mutter, sometimes even if you have tasty rat, got rat taste in your honey, why shetamo po game? Because it gives a blemish, a detraction of the taste. Because those things have to be very flavorful. Wine, oil, they have to have a good smell, a good aroma, a good taste. Already, the others, you know, vinegar and beer, they taste lousy anyway, right? So therefore, you know, lousy thing, we're not sure. But here they gotta be good. And this makes them much worse, and therefore their taste is a detraction, and you don't have to have anything to nullify it. Okay, it's 10 o'clock.